Good morning, everyone. Welcome. If you're here for the first time, it's lovely to see you. And if this is your local church where you come every week, we're equally as glad to see you as well. You've joined us in a series called The Beatitudes. And this is when Jesus was on the mountain and he gathered the people together and he talked through some like principles of life with them. And we're looking at the third one today. But before we do that, which is blessed are the meek, but before we do that, I'd love to know the answers to the question that was on screen. So, what are you really good at and what are you really bad at? Does anyone want to answer? You're good at being, who was that? That was Barry. Barry is good at being bad. Simon, what are you good at? Quizzes, but not hula hoops. Okay. Any others who would like to offer something? It was interesting. I asked this question in the team meeting we have before the service, and there was a little bit of a hush because I don't think people like to say, well, actually, I'm good at this, because it makes you sound as if like you're boastful or you're proud about something. And then eventually someone said, well, I think it was Lois, I'm good at eating. Any other good eaters here in the room? But then on the back of that, Sarah was able to say, oh, I'm good at cooking. So that was quite a good combination, wasn't it? So we are designed by God to be good at some things and not good at others. Like Simon, you might never hula hoop. I'm really sorry about that. So this morning, we're going to read through the Beatitudes together. You've already met David, Barry, but I want to introduce now Solomon and Jan, because Solomon and Jan are going to do our reading for today. But as you know, if you've been here a few weeks, when we read together, the words will come up on the screen and we're going to read it together. But it's a bit different today because we're going to have Team Solomon, okay? Just on at the top, and then I'm going to have Team Jan. So I'm actually going to split you down the middle. I'm going to split Simon and Abisola up. So from Abisola onwards, that side of the room, your Team Solomon, and you're reading the blue. Oh, Jan. And from Simon, no hula hooping, this side, your Team Simon, you're reading the red.
Blessed are the poor in spirit,
for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are those who mourn,
for they will be comforted.
Blessed are the meek,
for they will inherit the earth.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness,
for they will be filled.
Blessed are the merciful,
for they will be shown mercy.
Blessed are the pure in heart,
for they will see God.
Blessed are the peacemakers,
for they will be called children of God.
Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness,
for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me.
Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Amen.
Thank you.
Very much. Thank you. Oh, that was brilliant. That was so good. I was going to say I'm going to be a peacemaker and ask Simon and Abisola to move together again, but they've already done it. Oh, so they're reunited. Right, I needed to start off today just to share with you what I am really bad at. And I've got this beautiful story about it, so I hope you enjoy. I am really bad, and I know there's some people who are going to just like have their heads in their hands when I say this, evangelism. I am not an evangelist. There are some of you here in this room, and that is your core thing. That is what you cannot stop doing. You can have a conversation about anything, and you can turn it around to telling someone about Jesus. That is not my skill. So, can you give me a little wave if you are 36 or under? Oh, there's quite a big group. Great. Okay. So, when this happened, Sam, did you wave at me? Oh, yeah, you are, aren't you? You're only 30. Sorry. I thought... Sorry, Sam. Yeah, anyway. So... I'm really good at offending people, yeah? So this is the year 2000, and some of you were only like 10, or you weren't even born in the year 2000. At that time, which is 26 years ago, I worked for a Christian charity called Youth for Christ. I was the admin person, so I did all the emails, I booked meetings, I arranged venues and things like that. I did not do the evangelism part of it, but we had a team of about 7 people who were in schools. They ran assemblies, they did youth clubs. They were amazing, and they told young people about Jesus. They did a fabulous, fabulous job. Anyway, the year 2000 was this big event called Manchester 2000, and from all over the country, people descended on Manchester to share the Christian faith, and it was decided it would be a good thing if all our team went. So that included me. So I went and camped in Manchester, and then during the daytime there'd be outreach, sharing projects, painting, tidying up, sports events. I was picked for a sports team in a park. Okay, so together with this other lady, and this other lady was a really full-on evangelist. She made like Billy Graham look like an atheist. Do you know what I mean? She was so strong. We went to this park with the sports equipment, and the idea was that we engaged young people, we played sports, we told them about this big Christian event that was happening in the evening at various venues, and that they came along and they were introduced to faith in Jesus through that. That day, it was a bit like, you know, an episode of The Apprentice where they do all the cooking and they turn up at the place, but there's no one about, and they sell 2 hot dogs, and then it's just like, what are we going to do with all this food? It was like that, because we got to the park and there was just like hardly anyone there. A couple of joggers came in, so then this woman that I'm partnered with, she took these girls and she was after them. She was off like a shot, and she was like, excuse me, can we just chat for a minute? And I was like, oh my life, like, get me out of here. Anyway, she decided it wasn't working being in the park, and it wasn't. So what she said was, right, girls, we're going out on the streets. And I said, I'll stay here. I'll stay here in the park and I'll just look after the equipment, because we can't leave all this equipment here in the park. So that was thought, that's a good idea. So I was there for about half an hour, this deserted park. And then from across the other side of the park, I saw this older man come in with his dog. And I just thought, oh no, I'm going to have to speak to him. And I'm just like praying like I've never prayed before, that he would leave at one of the exits. You know what I mean? That he'd go, that he'd be off. He didn't, obviously. He makes his way around. And he says, like, look, why are you here with all this sports equipment? And so I said, it's mission, Christian, and tried to, like, you know, say Christian really quickly, you're Christian. And he said, well, what's happening then? And I thought, right, here we go. So I just explained a little bit about Manchester 2000 and what it meant. And I noticed, like, he was just, like, looking at me intently. He was just watching my face. And then he said to me, it's my birthday today. And I was like, oh. But unfortunately, at that time, I don't know whether it's the case now, but there used to be this thing going about in Christian circles, oh, well, you need 2 birthdays, the day you're born and the day you come to know Jesus. So before my brain is engaged, I am on my mouth going. And I'm saying, telling you, well, Jesus wants you to have another birth. He wants you to come to know him. He wants you to be born again. That was the phrase that was used because it's actually in the Bible, so it's a good phrase. And he's just looking at me intently still. And I came to tell him the part. I just said, Jesus really loves you. And I found as I said that a tear came down my cheek. And I was just feeling so emotional about it. And he's just looking at me. And he puts his head on one side. And he just said, why is your front tooth yellow? So, probably 10 years earlier, I'd fallen over, cracked my face on the ground, damaged the roots in my tooth, and my tooth had just gone discoloured over time. So I learned from that, one, that I am not good at evangelism, and two, that I needed to sort my tooth out. I say that because in this room today, we have got people who are naturals at things, some things we can do really well. And what you're good at, I'm not. And what others are good at, I'm not either. But I'm good at some stuff. But together as a team, we make an impression on people for God's kingdom to come. And that is what is so important. I have to be honest, following that Manchester 2000 episode, I found I kind of spiraled a bit mentally and emotionally. Because I just thought, I'm not any good. I'm not any good at anything. And when you compare yourselves to the other youth workers who were on the team, they were brilliant. They did an amazing job. They were absolutely fantastic. But I realised that I was trying to be what I was never meant to be. I was never meant to do and live like they did. Because God designs each one of us different. And it's so important that we find our fit and that we live within that shape that God's made us to be. Today, we're looking at this verse, which is, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And today, we want to see what meekness is, because people were a little bit reluctant to share what they were good at. But meekness, It's not about being a weak person. It's about knowing the strength that you have and having control over that strength. Another way that this verse comes out is in the Amplified Bible, and it tells us there that blessed, which means, is that on screen now, that one? Oh, yeah, so it's the next one. This is it. Blessed, which means inwardly peaceful, spiritually secure, are the meek. And it describes the meek as the kind-hearted, the sweet-spirited, the self-controlled, for they will inherit the earth. After that episode in the park in Manchester, I went on, you've got to realise this is a period now of 20-odd years. And over time, I found that God drops verses into your heart, or you read the Bible and you read something for the first time, or it's new to you, and it's like he's saying, that's for you, that's a verse for you. So I just wanted to firstly share an experience of something that I feel, I don't mean this in a boastful way at all, I'm just kind of saying this is something that I'm good at. And it's building relationships over a long time. Back in 2020, as a country, we went through the COVID outbreak. And during that time, there were certain groups of people who could still work. Many of us couldn't. We just stayed home. But our bin men were one of the groups who could still remain working. And I started every other Friday when they came to collect the bins, I started to make cakes for them, and I still do that till today, because we've just built this relationship, me and the bin men. We've got this great relationship. The names are Joe and Wes, the same team that were doing the bins in COVID that are doing them now, And every other Friday morning, we have a little conversation where they take my bin and I give them the cakes. And not so long ago, there was a time when Joe wasn't there. And I said to Wes, where's Joe? Is he okay? And Wes said, his wife's not so good. He's taking some time off to look after her. And then several weeks later, when Joe came back, he just said to me, thanks for asking after me. It was just a little throwaway comment. Where's Joe? It wasn't anything big. But that had got back to Joe and it meant something to him. And I felt like blessed because they are important guys. And it's long haul for me. I'm good at long haul. Can't do evangelism. Can't do running after people in the park and telling them instantly like that, that God loves you. Bless those of you who can. But long haul. God said, you can do that. And he was just like reassuring me that you might not be able to do this, but you can do that. I feel a bit embarrassed, to be honest, because it feels like it's very personal, this message today. And I think if you were here, you would be able to say, I can't do these things, but I am good at this. God's made me good at this. I think in Matthew 5, when we saw that clip from The Chosen, it's just before Jesus stands on the mountain and speaks to like crowds of people. And those people that he spoke to, they felt oppressed. They felt overlooked. They felt forgotten and unimportant. But Jesus, in those words that we've all read together this morning, he was saying, I see you. I hear you. And his words just like went down into their hearts and they knew their situation. God knew them. God saw it. And those words, they're rolling down the years for us today. Jesus' words are rolling down history. And he's looking out on our congregation today, those in the room, those who watch us online. And he's just saying, I see you. I see your situation. Blessed are the poor in spirit. When you're struggling, he's got you covered. It's not unseen to him. When you're grieving, his eye is on you. He can see it. And he's saying, you will be comforted. Just wanted to share now some verses that I believe that God used to speak to me to encourage me to be what I was meant to be. Before I do, like, I just feel this book, this Holy Bible, this letter from God, it's so important. It's so important that we just, like, pick it up, whether it's physical Bible or whether you use, like, your phone or whatever. But this is God speaking to us. And as we open its pages and we flip over and read things, that's how he drops things into our heart. That's how he underlines, this is me speaking to you. So, one day, this is in a 20-year period, I read this next verse which says, it's from Isaiah 40 and it's verse 1, and it says, comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. It was read at the start of the preach. I never heard another word in that preach. All I heard was those words, comfort, comfort, my people, says your God, going round my head. And I knew that that was part of what God wanted me to be. And people have said, I'm stressed about doing stuff, but if you come with me, I'll be okay. So the privilege of being a calming influence for someone, and several people have said that, is amazing. To be able to go and be with someone, and just so they won't be stressed, because you're there and you bring some calm to the situation. I kind of logged that one and hold on to it. The second one, it's from 1 Timothy 5, 1 to 2. And I just love this verse because it talks about church family and how we should treat each other and show each other respect. So treat an older man as if he was your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, with absolute purity. And I've held on to that verse because it's those final words in it that mean such a lot. With absolute purity. How we interact with each other, there should be a pureness that undermines all of that. Because more than anything, I want people to feel safe with me, if that makes sense. Family is so important. Church family is so important. And I want there to be that feeling of safety amongst each other, that we see each other as family. The final verse, and I love this one to bits, because I began to think that God was leading me in a certain way, but I wanted kind of some confirmation, you know. I wanted something from the Bible that reassured me that I wasn't just going off on one and that this was absolutely right. And this verse, it's a man called Paul who was an apostle. He was in the New Testament part of the Bible. He did many journeys and trips, and he was an evangelist. He built churches, he established churches. What a guy. And Paul, he writes a letter because it's the day before like mobile phones. There's no communication like that. And he wrote a letter to the people who lived in Rome. And it's his final chapter, chapter 16 and verse 13. And he says, "Greet Rufus." So Rufus is a guy that he met. "And his mother, who's been like a dear mother to me too. And that verse just stopped me in my tracks. Because Rufus's mother, whose name we don't even know, she wasn't Paul's mother, but he recognised that in her, he had found a mother figure that he needed. And that spoke so much to me. I think it's just so beautiful. Because at that time, I was feeling that calling on my life, that I was to be a mum for people more than just my natural family. My natural family mean loads to me, and I just wanted to show you a couple of pictures, if this is okay. So here we go with the first one. Oh, this is my son, Kev, and his wife, Sally. They are in New York at Christmas, and it had just started to snow. And they were absolutely thrilled with the idea of snow, and so they just sent that picture. Kev is 40 this year. And he is hating the idea of having to have a party or do anything like that. I don't know where he gets it from. It's not his dad. But he just doesn't like any fuss. Now, when they came home from New York, they flew out of New York from JFK Airport. The flight was already 6 hours delayed. When they were an hour and a half into the flight, the captain said, "Hi everyone, we're going to need to turn round and go back to JFK because there's a problem on the plane." So that's what happened. They turned round and it was an emergency landing at JFK Airport. So they landed with ambulances and fire engines, fire trucks, do we say? Fire trucks, fire engines surrounding them. Fortunately, it was all safe. They then spent the night in a hotel. And they were able to get another flight back the following day. They flew in that following day to Heathrow instead of Manchester. So they spent the day in Heathrow. And then eventually at 5 o'clock at night, 48 hours later, they got to Manchester. When I read through my notes this morning, I made an additional note about that. Because I felt God said, sometimes there's a detour to your destination. And I wanted just to say that little phrase today. There's a detour to your destination. Ideally, they'd have left JFK. They'd have landed in Manchester. That would have been it. But that wasn't what happened. And sometimes in life, that's not what happens. We expect to go from one place to another. But God has this like divine detour. And he takes us on a journey. And there's a reason for it. And there might be scary emergency landings involved in that. There might be things that we were just not expecting. But God gets us to the destination safely, and we land. Okay, my next picture is, this is my daughter, Kate, and her husband, and their husband Rod, and their little girl Chloe, who is 8. Kate is already in her 40s. Just put that out there for you. And they adopted Chloe when she was just a couple of weeks old. So she is a very, very precious part of our family. With my children being in the 40s, if you are 40s or younger today, in our church family, I kind of can't help but see you as my children. I can't help that filter being on. The same way as we've got older men who we see as fathers, we've got older women as we see as mothers, we've got our sisters, we've got the age group. And I'm so thrilled to feel that God rubber stamps being a mum in the church. And at this point, I want to give Caroline Holland a shout out, because Caroline Holland, she is amazing. Caroline, that's right, she is. Because Caroline, I've been watching, and Owen's already been sat with his head on the shoulder, because she's a mum in the church. She looks after, like, young people. She just, and has done this for years. Caroline, I can't see you properly, but you're an inspiration. You really are. You really are an inspiration. And others call you mum, because of how you live and how you take them under your arm. And if that verse that we saw before, Romans 16, if that was written today, it wouldn't be about Rufus. It would be about Megan and Caitlin's mum. That's what it would say. But they wouldn't name her, because she's quietly and unassumingly getting on with her life and just doing what that calling that God has put on her heart. Phil, how old are you? How old are you? Don't dodge the question. You're 21. How old? 54. He looks good. Oh, he's the best man. Oh. So if you're looking for a father figure, do you know what I mean? What a great team. What a great team. They are, yeah. So just to go back to our verse of blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. I think that's going to, there it is, fantastic. The meek are people who know what they're good at. They know the God-given gifting and they're secure in it. When I read the end of the verse, they will inherit the earth, I thought, I don't think I want to. Like, what is that? Like, blessed are those who mourn, they will be comforted. Comfort. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth. Oh. But the thing is, it's about us taking what is rightly God's. It's about us bringing the kingdom of heaven down to earth. I want to reveal what has been next to me here now for a while, because this is just absolutely beautiful. Let me just put the mic down. Okay. This picture, you might have to come and have a look personally if you can't see it properly now, but Yalda, used her God-given talents to create this beautiful picture. It's written in the Farsi language here, and it is the Lord's Prayer written in, like, calligraphy down the side. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And that is what inheriting the earth is all about. It's about God's kingdom coming to earth as it is in heaven, just like we live for God each day in the shape he's made us to be, thy kingdom come. And particularly, we are praying this over the country of Iran at this time. We are praying that God's kingdom comes there. We are praying for peace, and we are praying for freedom for the people of Iran. And we're with you. Our hearts are with you in this. And I personally will use every opportunity when I get this mic to raise that again. Because when it goes quiet in the news, it's not good. And we won't stay silent because we're with you. Just like God is with you. And he longs, doesn't he, that the meek are inheriting the earth. Okay, we're nearly there. The next verse. I feel this in a lot of verses, but scripture's so important. It is. And this is the way that Jesus describes himself. So in Matthew 11, 29, Jesus said to us, I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. The full verse says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. This is what Jesus offers us from his meek and gentle heart, and he wants us to be able to find that rest that only he can offer. Normally, when someone preaches, they have a quote on screen of someone like really famous who said something, you know, like really powerful. And I've got the next quote from Lois. So I wanted a picture of her up there, and I just forgot all about it. I thought that would be really good. So the quote is, are we ready? Meekness isn't thinking less of yourself. It's thinking about yourself less. How good.
Oh. It was C.S. Lewis that said it first.
C.S. Lewis. She's being humble. She's not taking the glory for it. Thank you, C.S. Lewis. But we'd still rather see Lois up there anyway, in my opinion. Often, like, the meekness thing, we get confused, don't we? And we think, like, oh, no, I'm just rubbish. I'm not any good at that. What's, you know, blah, blah. And we get down on ourselves. But God isn't saying that. He's saying, be good at what I've made you good at. But it is thinking less about yourself. Personally, when issues and problems come into my life, I end up forgetting about other people because I get so centered on me and the things that I'm having to face and deal with that I just shut everyone else out. This is the final verse that I want to... No, sorry, Philippians 2, 34. If we could have that verse up, because this is a fantastic way from the message of how we should be doing life. So don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. This is the final line. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. God doesn't want us to just forget ourselves long enough to lend a helping hand when life is sweet for us. He wants, even when it's really hard, he wants us to be looking out for others and looking at little ways that we can show kindness, that we can be kind-hearted, sweet-spirited, that we can help other people. And the final verse is this one. It's Psalm 37 and it's verse 3. And it sums it up beautifully. Whatever the situation is that you are in, that you are facing, that you're finding is like crushing you at the moment, trust in the Lord. Trust that he has got the answer. Trust that he will see you through. Trust that the Jesus that stood on that mountainside delivering the Beatitudes has got his eye on you. You are not unseen. You are not forgotten. And then... don't sit in a corner crying. Do good. look around you, look for others who have things that they are going through, get alongside them, be kind-hearted, and that's the way the kingdom comes to earth, that's the way heaven comes down, and that's the way we infiltrate this world that we live in with the good news of the gospel of Jesus, by kindness, by reaching out, by doing stuff. Okay, could our band come up now, please, because we've got a beautiful song to finish with. And just as we do, we want to finish like the services like we've been doing, and we're calling it our 10% stretch. So I've split the 10% into two lots of fives. I hope that's all right. So first of all, 5% is to have an honest conversation with yourself, because I was convinced I was good at some things and I wasn't. And we have to let go of what we long to be to find out what God actually does want us to be. Janet, I'll chat to you after, is that okay? And then the other 5% is from Psalm 37, and it's, what good can I do this week? How can I help and bless someone? So that's a way that we can stretch ourselves. Firstly, honest conversation. And then secondly, how can I look outside of my own circumstances and be a blessing to someone else?